What more in the name of love, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. England got Bulgaria, Russia overpowered Scotland, and Somalia got a historic win in Africa. Happy Montag, as they may say in Germany. They're feeling a little bit Anglo-Saxon. PED's in front of me.
I am. Yeah. I'm ready to go. I enjoyed you saying gubbed Bulgaria. It's actually quite a hard thing to say. Yeah. Gubbed Bulgaria. Gubbed Bulgaria.
It's a big Scottish word, isn't it? Gubbed.
Yeah, it is
gubbed.
A big Scottish word.
It almost sounds like a team from Bulgaria. Gubbed Bulgaria.
Jim reckons he has an haircut, but I think he has. I can't get... Sorry.
Who is more likely to know?
The listeners at this point, I reckon.
I'm not having it. I can't look at you. I'm not looking at you for the entirety of the show.
How are you going to exclude the listeners? Is that a new t-shirt you've got on, Luke?
This t-shirt's covered in cat hair. I forgot to lint roll it before I left the house.
Oh, dearie me.
That doesn't give you a picture.
Where do you buy your lint rollers? I get mine from H&M.
Sainsbury's. I do them two packs on the end of each aisles.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The little lint balls. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, then let's start talking about some international football because it's still here. We've still got a bit more this week, everybody. Ooh. I know you hate it. I love it. So
yeah, I do too. And I think we've got no choice but to love it because there's no other football to talk about. Yeah. Mm. So strap yourselves in or turn it off.
Oh, hang on. League 1 and League 2.
Oh, yeah. League 1, League 2. Yeah. Yeah.
Your team plays in one of those divisions?
Yeah. Very good.
Very good. Well, you could describe them like that. Mm. You could describe England as very good against Bulgaria. Although, it's... I mean, how much do we sort of take from this,
I mean,
Jim?
They didn't really need to be much better than they were, did they? I mean, it's certainly not like a sort of sparkling England performance, but that isn't a criticism at all because they didn't really need to go through the gears, did they?
No, so, exactly. Nice to see Pickers make a save.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, that with that in mind, how many times have we watched England sort of plod through a friendly like this and maybe scrape it 1-0or leave it late and get two late goals or rely on a penalty or just be really... drab and average.
We relied on penalties.
It wasn't a friendly though, Jim.
You know what I mean? Though? Yeah. Like, forgive me for saying a friendly, but of course, like even the qualifiers, these games where these qualification campaigns in the past have felt so stodgy and just like a real sort of slog, and they can be, and that is sadly will always be the nature of them. But you know, we should be celebrating England managing to dispatch a team 4-0. Because there was a long time where we didn't do that and looked like we should have done.
It's interesting to say that, actually, because some people say that it's obviously bad for the international game when you have countries just breezing through qualification and it shows you how the sort of globalised game makes certain countries a lot richer and a lot of the talent goes there and so on. But I know what you mean from an England fan's point of view, actually. Yeah. A game like that, you can remember... home draws with sort of Macedonia and one or two others. And who knows, Kosovo, I think, are actually, they're a lot better than Bulgaria. England should win. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, as an England fan, I, you know, all that kind of chat, and I understand for the greater good of the game, there's a debate to be had there. But in the purposes of being an England fan through qualification, a 4-0 home win, I think it's a lovely old job. Mm. So no complaints.
Yeah, I mean, and also, is it 42 qualifiers unbeaten now for England?
So that's amazing.
It's a lot of... I know the team has been improved under Southgate and...
42?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think that was the 42nd unbeaten qualifier, I think.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's been a good while. I think that's across both European championships and the World Cup. And obviously we know what happened in 2008 and what happened ahead of 94. But generally speaking, England did qualify for these tournaments.
Yeah.
But I was at the game on Saturday.
Hey, you little... cheeky.
Little naughty little sausage.
No, you were there. You were in Club Wembley, were you?
Nah, I wasn't. Okay. But one thing that was fascinating to me...
He was in the box back throwing beers around.
Yeah.
As Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah. And as we found out on Ramble Meets, Will Hughes watched a lot of the World Cup at the Box Park in Croydon.
Oh, nice.
Oh, is that right? Because Alex Oxlade was in East London.
That's right, yeah. There's a few of them dotted around. But there's one on Wembley Way now. And I was in there.
Yeah.
But the thing that really hit home for me was really the atmosphere around the England team at the moment is so universally positive. It's unbelievable. I mean, I had to go there for work and I was there from midday, so 5 hours before kickoff. And I thought it would be deserted. Mm. There were people milling about, having photos taken, getting a bit of early lunch.
Getting in scraps.
Yeah, kicking off. No, seriously, it was a real family affair. You had the endless stream of kids having the scarves above their head, having the photo taken in front of the stadium and all the rest of it. And I know that you are always going to see that because England are a big national side. But really, the atmosphere and the feeling felt if not quite as intense and as exciting as what happened last summer, it certainly felt like an extension of it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I would only, the only thing I would add to what Jim said is just that England don't tend to struggle in qualifiers, but they do sometimes struggle to break teams down, mm-hmm. and they do find it boring.
Bulgaria really put people behind the ball.
They did. And I think, I'll just chuck another stat out there, hopefully this one's also correct, mm-hmm. that it was 2 years on Friday, I think, since Sam Allardyce's only game in charge of England. And what was that, a late Lallana goal?
Yeah. Very late, deflected, sort of slightly fortuitous Lallana goal, but a clean sheet though. Yeah.
Take charge of one game.
Apparently
so easy to forget.
And what was quite it feels like a lifetime ago is what I'm saying.
Does, yeah.
And so there's a lot to be positive about from this team. And I think the next conversation we'll be having between now and next summer is whether they can make a kick on beyond the semi-final and how they do that. Mm.
And also, I think one of the great things about the way this team play now as well is obviously a lot of that is to do with the quality of the individuals, but also how much Southgate has made them gel as a team. And you do feel like if a team sticks their entire team behind the ball, England can just force a mistake now, which is something they've really sort of struggled with in the past, and that pace and that directness, mm-hmm. especially of that front three. And it was interesting to see Marcus Rashford start. And Southgate's comments on him after the game, did you see that?
Yep.
So he said he thinks he needs to be more intelligent with his pace and sort of, to just not drop back so much and actually just be happy to sort of like mm-hmm. just play off the last man and try and get in behind. And I thought that was such constructive criticism to get out in the open like that as well. And that shows how much detail is going into every squad member and everything they bring.
Yeah, and he also described the front three as a world-class strike force. He says it's very exciting. You've
got to be careful with that, though, because that's already been misconstrued by the press. As I saw that reported as Southgate says England have the best forward line in world football or something like that. And that's where it all starts to go wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, Southgate described the players as a golden generation and everything now is ruined. But we did talk about the strike force, and on the preview show last week, there was chat in here, I'm not too sure about Rashford, should it be Sancho? But you would imagine now that, I mean, that is his front three. This is the front
three who
took Spain apart in Andalusia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other game, it's part of the day.
Well, Rashford still, he scored though.
Oh, yeah. No, and I think the key thing here is Southgate's got options. And I can't remember whether we quite touched on it on Friday, but a lot of the chat ahead of the game, because it broke quite late Friday night that Barkley, Rice and Henderson were going to be the mm-hmm. were going to be the midfield three. And I think it was Oliver Kaye who broke that. And I was a little bit underwhelmed by that. But I have to say, all three of the players played well in midfield. I think
Barkley played pretty well, actually.
Yeah, he did, actually. He stood out for me, mm-hmm. given that he's been a little bit inconsistent for his
club.
Yeah. But I don't know why, but I was sort of a little bit sort of underwhelmed.
So who would you rather have it in there?
Well, no, it's not a case of what I'd rather have. It's a case of that we have all these exciting young players coming through. We've got some probably to follow even this bunch. I mean, if you take someone like Phil Foden, who's not really been amongst it, and he's mm-hmm. he's really highly rated, mm-hmm. and if he gets game time, he'll come through as well. So we've got a lot of players. And I was selfishly hoping we would see from the start some newer players, mm-hmm. and Maddison perhaps, or Mount, who I know came on. We didn't see that, but at the same time, it was still a great performance, a comprehensive performance that we were the only team really in it. Mm. So it's an embarrassment of riches. I wonder whether they can change it up slightly, whether if they need to move from a 4-3-3 to something else, they need to have a proper playmaker in there and Maddison comes in, what shape that will look like.
So you want almost like a 4-2-3-1?
I think so, as an option, because I don't know about you, Marcus, but I don't know if Maddison can fit in that 4-3-3 at the moment.
Well, this is what we spoke about last week, of course, and Maddison won't fit in that formation. That's not where Southgate sees him. And Southgate likes to play with the one in front of the back four and then the two shuttlers. That's the position. That's England's best team, you would say. Maddison hasn't even got a cap, I don't think. And he's, I don't know, I mean, Rodgers is playing him on the left side of the three. We spoke about this on the preview show. So we'll see. I mean, against Kosovo, he's not going to start Maddison, I wouldn't have thought. I think he would go something very similar to what he did against Bulgaria, because that is a tougher game.
Yeah.
Kosovo are no mugs. Of course England are the better side. But you still want to win it. You can't start going too experimental, because that's a bit ridiculous. I was pleased to see Oxlade-Chamberlain coming off the bench, mm-hmm. From what I was saying last week. And obviously, Mason Mount played as well. But speaking of James Maddison, I think we missed this. I think this was a few weeks ago. him and Jeremy Clarkson having a little bit of roast beef.
Yeah, a little Twitter dingle.
Yeah, Jeremy Clarkson did that thing where people who don't really care about football decide all of a sudden they do care about it and said something that made him sound like a complete idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, which isn't hard for him, is it?
Clarko tweeted, James, this was when I think he missed a chance against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge in the 1-1 draw. He said, James Maddison, too long at the barbers, not enough time practising football. I mean,
practising football.
Yeah.
Make sure you're on time to football practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Show how committed you are.
Yeah. Not enough time.
For the match.
for the big match at the weekend.
See the game last night? Which one? Don't know.
Yeah. Well, Maddison went on to win Man of the Match award in that game and replied, stick to cars, mate. Can count on one hand how many trims you've got left. Hashtag thin.
Love it.
Love it. Love it. Little dig back.
Yeah. I don't think it is correct, though, because he's actually got quite thick hair, hasn't he?
I think in the sort of the context of Twitter beef, the replies would have just been like gifs of people going,
oh my god, I can't believe you said that.
Exactly.
He should have said not enough time practicing one. Not being a prick. Yeah. He should have said.
None of the Top Gear gang, as they were known.
The Top Gear 3.
Have got problems with their hair, have they? They're terrible in terms of style, but I mean in terms of hairlines.
Oh, it's just every facet of
Hammond's probably quite scarred on the head. He's always having operations because he keeps getting run over and stuff,
doesn't
he?
Not funny, is it?
Keeps getting run over and stuff.
It's not funny for him.
He does.
I think he does. It's true.
I think you've got a bit of James Maddison about you.
James Maddison?
I thought you could say James May.
Haircut.
To be fair, that'd probably be on me.
Haircut, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, Pete's got one of those modern football hairs.
You spend too much time in the barbers, mate.
Too much time, Mr. Toppers.
Spend more time in the podcast gym.
Podcast gym or the podcast you, Jim?
I'm not
who,
sure.
Who, me, Jim? What do you think of Kieran Trippier starting?
Kieran Trippier?
I think from what I've seen, he started the season quite well.
He did okay.
And he's not going to be in real trouble for England here.
You'd fancy Trent to start against Kosovo, wouldn't you?
I think he's probably the first. Well, it's funny because I heard some people saying last week that they would say that if you stuck England into a semi-final of a tournament now, they reckon Southgate would pick Walker.
He would.
But I think Alexander-Arnold's probably the future of that position.
Sure, but the semi-final's not going to come tomorrow rather than next week. That's the point. And he will be blooding Alexander-Arnold as the first choice.
Yeah, I enjoyed that Kieran Trippier is already saying, I think they got rid of me too early, personally. Like, you don't really have to come back. Just stay there. Have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Had a lovely time. Madrid's a wonderful city.
Yeah, but then if he's asked a question and he responds,
nah.
So what you think? Okay.
So I'm here now. And I'm going to do my job.
Maybe he should take
down the football gym.
He should get Herman Burgos to go to his press conferences.
Yeah,
you want to ask good questions, you've got to go through the big guy.
I think Trippier starting is another good example of how Southgate likes to keep people involved, doesn't he? And keep that morale high. And I'm all for it. We are stacked at right back. The options are amazing.
It's particularly strong,
isn't it? Give him the taste of the unicorn.
Do you think that Declan Rice playing in that position? Is he making that position his own? There's not too many challenges for that specific role.
That is certainly, probably more than any position, the one that feels most sort of up for grabs, doesn't it? I guess Eric Dier has been used there a lot as kind of, with respect to him, the best option we have.
No, but Dier's not been used really in that role so much. Henderson was in the World Cup against, I think, like Croatia, where he didn't do so well in the semi-final, but I don't think too many of them did. But in that sort of pivot role, I think Dier doesn't play that much for Spurs. I can't see him getting back into the England side, barring
he's had a lot of problem with illnesses and injuries, hasn't he? Yeah,
he has. Yeah. So that is the position, which is a very key position. You know, when you look at like the Dutch, who have got Frankie de Jong or something, of course, who was excellent against England in the semi final in the UEFA Nations League. That position is a vital one, because if you want to play out from the back, that role's there. You've got to screen the back four. You've got to make the plays. Rice is decent, quite clearly. But I know you're a fan of Winks, Luke.
Yes.
Do you think that he can play in that position? Because with Spurs, he's often got someone like Sissoko or a bit of a helping hand more next to him.
I think it's important to point out there are different ways of interpreting that position.
Of course.
Because someone like Henderson isn't the same as someone like Carrick, who can play the same role but in a completely different way.
But actually, Henderson would be an ideal partner for Winks in that situation.
Well, if you're going to play... So if in that rejig of midfield, Luke, what you're saying is Winks and Henderson next to each other with someone like Maddison ahead of them.
That's an option, I think.
That's an option I'd like to see.
But
at the moment,
well,
he clearly likes that pivot role with the two kind of shuttling.
But the bottom line is England will breeze for this qualification whatever formation they play. They just need to settle on one, which is their go-to formation for a tournament proper, and then have a second option. Because unless you're Spain,
of course,
in their golden period, you need to change it up sometimes. You need to be able to sort of overcome different challenges. And it may well be that, and this is something we don't talk about enough, I don't think, that there are players in this team who are good, and there are players in this squad who are also really good. But English football over the last 100 years has been littered with players who perhaps didn't get the amount of caps they should have done because there are other players around them who are simply better.
Steve Bruce.
Exactly. And that is just a fact of life. We shouldn't go down the road we've been down in the past with different managers where we're trying to shoehorn as many good players in as possible. That's your go. Look, if Kane is your go-to, and he's going to play every game up front through the middle when he's fit, and your second best option is a guy who's a great player, but he only ends up getting the same amount of caps as, say, Ian Wright, for example, who was a fantastic striker, but there were different reasons for that, but ultimately there were a lot of strikers around at the time who were great, then we're all just going to have to make our peace with that. We can't shoehorn all these different players
in. You said this last week. What have you seen Southgate doing that makes you think that he's doing this?
I'm not saying he's doing it. I'm saying he hasn't done that yet.
Okay, so and it's a warning.
I don't want to see him do that.
Okay.
I think people are going to have to be content with not having a role necessarily that they might have done had they come along in different eras. Like Andy Murray, everyone says, I don't know anything about tennis, but everyone says Andy Murray would have got 10 Grand Slams if he wasn't Djokovic, Nadal and Federer. Mm. It's just, unfortunately, he is, and so he's only got a few. That's just a fact of sporting life, isn't it?
Sure, but so who do you think is being touted for a particular position, which do you think is they shouldn't be then?
No one.
Okay,
but that's what Luke's arguing.
Yeah.
The balance of how he's picking his squad and using his players is very smooth and very, very good. Can we briefly at least touch on Bulgaria's attempts to play out from the back?
Yes.
Because that was... you shouldn't kick them while they're down, I suppose, but...
Why not?
We're going to. That was a team thinking that this is how you're supposed to play football, isn't it? So this is what football is now. Let's do that and then we'll probably win.
From the start, they were quite bad at it, but they just stuck at it.
Yeah.
I think it took 24 minutes for Kane to score, but they looked quite bad at it before that as well.
It's important to stick to your principles.
Yeah.
Balakov is the manager. We remember him as a player.
Well, he was part of the World Cup 94 squad, wasn't he?
He was one of the most... I think he was one of the highest played players in Europe when he played in Germany. Was it Stuttgart he played for?
Right.
Yeah, decent career. Looking very suave and sexy, Peter.
Mm.
I go to you for that kind of chat. You know, as a suave and sexy man.
Because opposites attract.
I'm just reaching for the rainbow.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of suave and sexy, let's move away from international football just for a moment. Kike Sanchez Flores is back.
Yeah.
He's back at Watford. Javi Gracia has left the club. He's been booted out. Watford lost 9 of their last 13 top flight games, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird one, isn't it? Is this what are Watford recycling managers now? Will they get Walter Mazzarri back?
They're going backwards all the way.
They've sacked a manager that hasn't taken the club far enough and replaced him with a man who didn't take the club far enough.
Yeah.
In many
ways. But actually,
ways.
Do you remember of all of the sackings that Watford have made, this was the one that was met with the most outcry, wasn't it? Because he did do really well. And I think he said at the time that there was some contractual thing, like he hadn't hit a certain amount of things that he had to achieve in that season for his contract to be renewed.
And
that
everyone was like, well, that's ridiculous. FA Cup final.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
No, not Gracia. Kiki Sanchez Flores, the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
But which is a very sort of weird way of doing things. But it, as we've said before, it seems to work for them.
Mm.
But could this be where it all
starts? He's certainly got a better squad than he had last time. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
So perhaps he won't play quite so dull football.
They never really sort of recovered from reaching the FA Cup final, because obviously they didn't do too well before the FA Cup final. I know the Cup final come, people don't want to get injured, all that kind of stuff, and they were very safe in the Premier League. But since that 6-0 loss, it really has been bad.
Yeah.
And this season, you think to yourself, after the first game, right, well, it wasn't really a 3-0, and get themselves out of that.
It's a problem, though, isn't it? It is.
Yeah, and it just seems like the games are creeping up now. I mean, you can argue that the Watford have pulled the trigger a bit too early there. But I mean, it is Watford, and Gracia was there for more than a season, which is rather generous.
They gave him a new contract. He was the first one to get a new contract in a long time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's very like club minded. He's very community minded. He was great at that sort of thing. So
I think he was popular there. I know that people liked him, but Flores is. New appointments. This new appointment, if you like, is their 10th appointment in 7 years. Mm-hmm. So they do generate, they do turn over managers quite quickly. But Flores was quite damning when he left in 2016.
Mm. Yeah.
So it said that something along the lines of no one else at the club was willing, in terms of the hierarchy, was willing to take joy in the successes like he was. And wow. if he wasn't enjoying it, he couldn't do it properly anyway. He was very upset, I think, because Walter Mazzari was seen in the stands, wasn't he, when Flores was still the coach.
That's naughty.
And that annoyed him. Did you know Flores' godfather was Alfredo Di Stefano, by the way?
Well, wow.
Yeah, he's from a bit of the football royalty himself. Yeah. Like, he's well connected. I think his dad might have played for Real Madrid. But as Pete's alluded to, he can organise a defence and I imagine that they'll shore it up, at least in the short term. Two things on this for me. One is that he signed a new 4.5-year deal in November. And it had like an option for like another 3 years or something. At Watford. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's my cash.
And he obviously led them to their first FA Cup final, but they had only won once since April. Yeah, and that was against Huddersfield.
Yeah.
But at that point, I believe, if they weren't relegated at that point, they were certainly very close to it. But I think Gracia can have a little bit of complaint given that the two big name signings they made, Welbeck and Saar, haven't featured yet.
Yeah.
And so what I've heard is that a lot of the hierarchy will go to the training ground and in almost like quite an unscientific way will gauge the mood.
Right.
And Gracia, as you guys have said, has always been very popular there. Everyone loved him. Community loved him as well. And it was always quite upbeat. But they assessed that the most recent times they've been to visit, it was all a bit caught down at heel and a little bit flat. And so they decided to make a decision on that basis. Which, I mean, if that's true...
They've stirred up a bloody hornet's nest.
Exactly. Hello. It's not going to improve things.
No, that is the nature of a poor run, though, isn't it? I guess you need to get yourselves out of that. I do feel that at some point this is gearing up to Troy Deeney player manager and that it will be a wonderful, wonderful time when it happens.
I think he would be sent to the stands.
Irresponsible.
I saw Troy
from Deeney. The pitch.
Yeah. I actually saw Troy Deeney on Thursday night. The man has got quite a presence.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I hear that.
Big old guy. Very, very pleasant man, but very, very tough looking man.
Yeah, a bit like Pete Donaldson.
Yeah,
correct.
Neither of those things.
Correct.
Now time for a break.
It is.
Welcome back to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Good news, isn't there, Luke Moore?
Yeah, no one won Betway's fourth to score last weekend. There were a couple of difficult games in there. So the jackpot rolls over to this weekend. It's now £50,000.
Get on that.
So go to betway.com/4to score. That's the number 4 to score to get your four first goal scorers in this weekend for a chance to win 50K. We'll be doing it. If we win it, we'll probably give it to charity or something.
In Cockney Rhyme Islam, is a monkey's
500.
Yeah.
So what would that be? 10,000 monkeys?
No.
No.
When all you need is an ape.
It'd be 100 monkeys.
100 monkeys then. Yeah.
100 monkeys.
You can win 100 monkeys.
We may have a.
Would that
a bit
be 10,000 monkeys?
Yeah.
I'm tired, man.
Yeah.
Up yours.
Can we do that from now on, though? Can we just put it
in monkeys?
Put it in monkeys.
100 monkeys this weekend.
Well, the good news is, Peter, that later on the show, we may have a little bit of monkey chat.
Oh
good.
Great.
It's called the Monkey Biz.
We are.
A little melancholy there.
We are coming live to a town near you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So the end of this month and through October. Go to ramblelive.com to get your tickets.
Yeah.
We'd love to see you down. It's going to be lots of fun. We'll undoubtedly have a beer afterwards as well. I saw a video Pete made this morning for the show, which is going to be played on the big screen.
Right.
It is bafflingly hilarious.
Yes.
With emphasis on the bafflingly.
Uh-huh.
So you'll see that kind of stuff as well. It's the only place you're going to get a chance to see it,
yes.
As well as seeing us on stage doing our thing.
And I will be inspecting every city's monkey house at the zoo as well.
Do you know what? I'm very much looking forward to our Bournemouth show because Bournemouth has palm trees in the town centre.
What?
It does,
absolutely.
Yeah.
We look forward to, just a few, like in a little patch.
Not about. A few's
what?
Enough for me.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Jim. Yeah, they're not like lining the streets
probably
or anything.
Enough for one each, I don't know.
I don't think we get to keep them.
They've got a lovely beach down there.
Yeah, I do.
So, yeah, get
yourself a lovely bunch of coconuts. It's from the palm trees.
People of Bournemouth, come out and show us your coconuts.
Is this some sort of surreptitious invitation? Is this like when, you know, provincial middle-aged couples have pampas grass in their front garden?
Yeah.
Oh,
what
are you doing? The old swingers. Well, I'm from Surrey, mate. The swingers are right down there.
Come to Bournemouth, we'll bring the coconuts.
Yeah. But don't be afraid to bring one or two of your own, of course.
If you know when they're Bournemouth, you can come to any town you want to go to.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. All right, let's have some emails with Petey D.
Have emails. Your email show at footballrambledaily.com. And
now Pete is reading it out. Well done. And let everyone... It's the end bit I like the best.
Marcus did a little silence.
No need for that.
Peter, the end bit of that jingle,
you're on spot now.
You completely lose it at the end.
I do not.
Yeah, it's those, those nodules.
I was saying, I'm worried about my nodules, guys. I can't sing certain notes. I was doing that in one of the Kiss FM studios, and a man walked past as I was finishing up that sing song. So
there you go.
There you go.
Thank goodness little, you said sing song.
I was walking past as you were finishing up.
But, yeah. Behind the Music on VH1.
Classic albums.
Carl Wilhelmus, which is a beautiful name. Hey, y'all. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. I just thought I'd share that my local team, Ottawa Fury FC, has themed one of the home matches against Hartford Athletic. They're asking fans to come dressed up as different houses from Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Not sure if this is a normal occurrence in Europe. I'll let you know, Carl, it fucking isn't. but here in Ottawa, they tend to do this far too often. They will also be starting a golden snitch across the stadium, showing live magic jewels around the stadium, a live Quidditch demonstration, and a post-match movie on the field. Carl, that all sounds fucking dreadful.
All right.
Why is this happening?
Is this during the game?
I don't know. Well, they're just trying to get people involved, aren't they?
Well, Carl, I hope you come to our live show in Toronto.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
I believe, the capital of Canada, yeah. Isn't it, Carl?
we'll be showing a movie while the show's on. So if you're not interested in that, you can just... watch, yeah. Harry Potter.
Visa's pending. hello to Luke in Nagano, Japan. Hi, Ramblers. Long time listener. Able to email in because Pete's jingle has been stuck in my head so much that it interrupts my sleep.
Yeah, good.
A gift to the world.
That's the plan.
I enjoyed the idea of Wolves, Wolfsburg and Wolfsburger as a Pokemon evolving. What really made me laugh that was when Pete tried to explain the concept, both of his examples were wrong. Pikachu only evolves once. Charizard doesn't evolve at all. Sort your life out, Pete. Get off the Yakuza games and play a grown-up game like Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
Nerd.
I mean, I understood none of it, but I agree with
can
it.
Can you send those sorts of emails to Pete's personal account?
I'm going to assume people do that, let's be fair.
Yeah.
I mean,
he probably has for years and he thought, I've got to get the...
I mean, he's suggesting that presumably like Charizard will never evolve. At some point, they'll probably go, oh, we've forgotten to make Charizard evolve. Let's stick him in on the new cartoon.
Who's Charizard?
Yeah, Marcus, sorry.
I think he's got fire for a turn.
Up from Pokemon.
You've misjudged the room.
I think he's like a lizardy dragon sort of Pokemon.
Oh, David Icke.
With a fire for a tail.
Uh-huh.
And you know Pikachu. He's a detective.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's Ryan Reynolds. Maybe he will evolve.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Is that the end of your emails, Pete?
That's the end of my emails.
Can I just say, on the behalf of everyone here, right. And presumably everyone listening,
right.
That is the worst email section anyone's ever done.
What
on a
is
podcast.
Wrong with that?
Two I enjoyed emails, it.
One about Harry Potter, one about Pokemon, no one understood. Jingle, out again.
Harry Potter, very popular. Pokemon, incredibly popular.
That email
popular.
Section was 2 minutes, 40 seconds long.
So what?
The jingle each side.
There was that team from Ottawa,
the only other one was that rugby manager who looked like fucking Sandy Ballbag.
Sean Dyche.
But it was all visual, wasn't it? It doesn't make any sense. Sean Dyche walked into a room with a man who looks like Sean Dyche in some rugby context. We're not the rugby ramble, are we?
Yes.
Well, fuck
to be
off.
Fair. To be fair, Pete.
Fuck off.
You've pulled
I'm evolving into angry Pete.
Oh, here we go.
Tell us more. This is interesting.
When you say,
can you use this in the email section?
Peter, I understand what you're saying. However, I do have to... correct that, because when you say it's a visual thing and obviously it's an audio film, but we all know what Sean Dyche looks like. Whereas when you mentioned about Jim having a haircut at the start,
that wasn't in the email section.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no.
Stop putting other things
in the hair section.
All right.
That was in the haircut section.
Exactly.
Sorry. The Sean Dyche part of that would be very much in the mind's eye, wouldn't it? It would work. Like when Jim says Sean Dyche sounds like a Sandy ball bag,
right?
We know who Sean Dyche is, so it works.
Explain the Sandy Ballbag bit then.
Jim, well,
talks like that.
Yeah, well, it's people often misunderstand this because it's so old. So for anyone that missed it the first time around, it's like if there was a ball bag that had been at the beach all day and it was a bit chafed and sandy and it was all red, if that had a voice,
right,
Sean, it would sound like Sean Dyche's voice.
The beach all day.
Yeah. I completely agree.
I popped out and I'm a bit sunburned well.
So are there any other,
chafing.
Are there any other parts of a human anatomy that sound like other football managers?
We might have to dedicate a special to this.
I think Arsene Wenger sounds like a throat.
I think Big Sam sounds like an armpit.
Nah, it's not.
Yeah, I know, I'm getting that.
You know when you used to do that?
Yeah. When you do the... it's a visual thing, and I don't know how to do it.
You know when you bust your ankle and it goes all big?
Yeah.
Brucey.
No, Brucey sounds like a broken nose, doesn't he?
Yeah.
he's got a broken nose, yeah. So you can't go for that's two route one.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Mark, is there any more football happening? Yeah.
Email us, let us know.
Yeah.
Show at footballrambledaily.com.
Roy Hodgson sounds like an earlobe, I don't know.
He does a bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you mean he does a bit?
You've got to use your imagination.
Sorry,
Mark.
Lou. What did you just say? What did you say our email address was?
Show at footballrambledaily.com.
I feel like you said the footballrambledaily.
No, I didn't.
I think you did.
I didn't.
Well,
no.
We'll rewind and have a listen, well, shall we?
I would say, actually, Arsene Wenger sounds like a sip of red wine.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
It's given him too much
abstract.
Credit.
Yeah, mate. Well, I would, wouldn't I? Yeah.
What would Ryan Giggs sound like?
I don't want to get sued.
Someone else's glass of wine. He's on red and.
Yeah, mind sweeping.
Yeah.
Wife sweeping.
All right. Don't name it, even though he actually did it.
Don't make it obvious.
Right. Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
Got a
vital
winner.
Has to work with him.
Yeah.
His wife's in Spain.
Safely in Spain. Although, where's that Man United friendly?
You remember
the Man United, Man City? That's got to be Manchester, right, surely.
Yeah. We're not going down this
anyway,
road.
Anyway, Giggs is playing in the game soon, isn't he? We spoke about that last week. Wales beat Azerbaijan 2-1. Mm. There was an own goal.
Or wasn't there?
There was an own goal.
Absolute classic of the form.
I'm going to stick my neck out here, John. I think that has gone, in this world of social media, that's gone underplayed.
He
didn't
so.
Even know where the ball was. And no. It hit him in the side of the head, in the ear, and went in.
Yeah. But it was
from quite a distance.
At the other end, that is an incredible poacher's goal. Like that is that's the best own goals are sort of like that. They are accidentally magnificent, like the very famous Ian Dowie one that he scored for West Ham from a corner, defending a corner, and scored like the most pinpoint attacking header you will ever see.
It's not as good as that, Kevin. Is it Malguet or Malguet for Luxembourg over the weekend?
Oh, against Northern Ireland.
Yeah, that one was great
as
well.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. That was a one that a poacher would be happy with. Yeah. Whereas the Wales goal, it would have been a fortuitous goal if a striker had scored it.
Yeah.
The way it came off his head. So,
the gold standard for the own goal genre,
that
we can all remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the player, but he tries to hook the ball away, boots it into his own face, breaking his own nose, and it goes in the bottom corner.
Nice.
That's the gold standard. Mm. If that's a 10, I think this one was probably a good 7.5.
I'd say an 8, actually.
An 8. Yeah. There you go. I mean... Yeah. Marcus is going half a point higher than me and saying it's an 8.
Should
it was very fortunate for
this?
Wales. They needed a win badly. And take your point, Marcus. I think it was you who made the point last week saying that the other teams around might take points off each other.
Yeah.
But Wales, if you want to qualify for a tournament, you've got to beat Azerbaijan at home. There's no doubt about that. And it was a nervy,
it was
tense
very
affair
nervy.
For them, wasn't it?
It's a shame for Wales. They seem to have lost a little bit based on that performance and the atmosphere there. And one or two Wales fans that we know, they were saying that feeling that Chris Coleman had in the camp, obviously went to the Euros, did very well. And even when they were trying to qualify for the World Cup, a little bit of that is just sort of seeping out at the moment.
Well, they feel like they're a team that are attempting to punch above their weight again. Whereas in that period under Coleman, they felt like a really exciting, dynamic team who absolutely belonged where they were, and that this could be the beginning of Wales being that way for a generation.
Yeah. Jim, I think it was slightly more than that. I think what we had with Chris Coleman and what he did very well from the outside looking in, and I remember listening to the updates on the radio on Friday of this Wales game, and the reporter there kept saying, it's tense here.
Mm.
It's very, very tense. People aren't convinced. Of course, after half-time, Azerbaijan equalised. It got even worse for them. Gareth Bale bailed them out. But what Chris Coleman did very well for this Wales team is that he understood that a team the size of Wales is a nation, they have to become bigger than the sum of their parts.
Yeah.
Now they can be peppered with some quality like Gareth Bale, like Aaron Ramsey, like one or two others. And you know, Daniel James might slot into this, you know, as a next generation. Mm. But they have to become bigger than the sum of their parts by this camaraderie, by this team spirit, by this focus and this motivation. And I don't think, given that he's so inexperienced, Giggs looks like he can do that.
Yeah.
And they might be going into a bit of obscurity. I should say, by the way, Wayne Hennessy was very poor for the Azerbaijan goal.
Yeah.
He didn't get anywhere near strong enough a hand on it. There's no way he should have been palming that back to the guy. It was a very weak, tame shot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I think that was quite poor. And maybe if that hadn't happened, they would have gone to be okay, and it wouldn't have been as difficult as it was. But nevertheless, they did get the win.
They did get the win. So hopefully they can build on that. Hungary host Slovakia this evening. Croatia away to Azerbaijan. So Hungary's hosting Slovakia. See what happens there. Scotland were beaten by Russia. Russia deserved their win. Now, we come on to Northern Ireland in just a brief moment. When you're saying about teams being greater than the sum of their parts,
yeah,
that's very much Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Wales, we've seen that recently. Wales have a little bit of quality that, say, Northern Ireland don't. And that was reflected, well, it was a bit of a drab affair. We're going back to Euro 2016, keep doing it. Maybe that's unhelpful. Wales do have, you've got Gareth Bale, for crying out loud. Yeah. And you mentioned one of them.
Ramsey's top class as well.
Yeah, he wasn't in there against Azerbaijan because of injury, but he's top. He plays for Juventus, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know, and a few others. Northern Ireland don't really have that, but they are greater than some of their parts. Scotland, I feel, and they've not got much quality. I know they've got some all right players like Ryan Fraser, and obviously Robertson's a brilliant player as well. But they're not greater than the sum of their parts.
No.
And they're in this kind of limbo. Northern Ireland think, right, very solid, hard to beat, nick a goal or two. You know, you never see Northern Ireland score in sort of three or four, really, or incredibly rare. But they get the job done. Mm. Wales, we've seen them play with a bit of flair in the last sort of couple of years. Scotland are sort of neither one nor the other for me.
Yeah, I feel like when Scotland went 1-0 up... If Northern Ireland had done that, they'd have just shut up shop from then. But I feel like Scotland don't know how to do that in the same way, because exactly as you're saying, they're not. It almost looks like they're not really drilled for that as well. It looked like when they went 1-0 up, they didn't really know what to do, which is a sort of. Which is a dangerous position to find yourself in, because you're inviting a loss onto yourself almost. Like I forget who it was. It was one of the players said that for the first 20 minutes or so, they were really, really on top of Russia, and Russia didn't know how to deal with them. But then they just collectively seemed to let up on the pace and let Russia back into it. And obviously, they do have the quality to hurt you.
Yeah, I mean, Russia are not a bad side, of course. You know, Golovin was excellent at parts. But Scotland, they went 1-0 up. It was a fortuitous goal. But fair enough, they went 1-0 up and they started very, very brightly. And they almost sort of, they really ached to be a side who go, right, you've come to Hampden and we're going to give you some. But they're not that side. They're not quite good enough against the Russia. And certainly when they play Belgium at home, they play Belgium tonight, I think. You know, they know this. But as you say, Jim, I think Scotland, they've not qualified for so long. They've played very boring football at times. Mm. So for them to kind of go full sort of Northern Ireland, even though they wanted Michael O'Neill, to take the Scotland job. If they go full that, I think people go, well, hang on a minute. You can't just roll over and show very little attacking intent.
Yeah.
But at least defend properly.
Well, at least defend. But that's the thing, Pete. You know, it's sort of not one or the other. And the game sort of, it petered out a bit. Russia should have had more than
I think there's two really telling comments. One from the captain, Andy Robertson, and one from the coach, Steve Clark. Steve Clark said, we went a goal ahead and we completely froze, and he was at a loss to explain it. Mm-hmm. Andy Robertson said, look, it's our own fault. We go a goal ahead at home against a team like Russia. I mean, do you know what? I might be in a minority of one here, but I think from what you guys have just said there, I think I rate Scotland slightly higher than you two guys do, and I rate Russia slightly less than you guys do.
I don't think Russia are particularly great, but I think they're better than Scotland is the point.
Do you? Okay.
They're undoubtedly better side
at home,
than Scotland.
At home?
Of course, the way they played against Scotland, they should have won 3 or 4-1.
Mm, okay, fair enough. I just think Scotland have got now probably in a position that we've said with Wales, as you guys have already said, they can become bigger than the sum of their parts, but they have got quality in them. And they've got players in there. Ryan Fraser's a top player. He created a huge amount of assists in the Premier League last season.
Andy Robertson, of course, John McGinn is a European champion.
Andy Robertson's a brilliant player. And John McGinn is a very improving, good player who hasn't looked out of his depth in the Premier League this season coming up there. So they've got some exciting players there. Yeah. And I think if you go a goal ahead at home in a qualification, unless you're playing a Germany or a Netherlands or whatever it may be, I think you've got to close it out. But I do think something we haven't touched on, Marcus, and I think is worth mentioning, because I know you've got a lot of experience of watching the Scottish team, they don't have a goal scorer, and they haven't had a goal scorer for such a long time.
No, they
haven't. That's a real gap. Because do you know what? I mean, it might be a bit unhelpful to say this, but just to put it out there as a conversational point, you stick a Robbie Keane in there, you've got goals over and over again for an average Ireland side. Yeah. It makes it a different prospect, doesn't it?
Yeah, going back to Northern Ireland, apart from Kyle Lafferty really stepping up for them in that period that he did that, they were in that same position, weren't they? So they did exactly, again, to use that same phrase, they became more than the sum of their parts, and that is perhaps what they've got to do. But to be fair to Steve Clark, he's really not been there for very long, so you can't really expect that straight away.
A lot of injury before this match as well, certainly at the back.
They were in an absolute state as well.
I think Scotland, that this team, they don't know what their identity is. They're struggling to where they fit on the grand scheme of things.
They were in a terrible state, weren't they, under McLeish as well?
They were, and it's to me, I just looked at that and I thought, after their Nations League, you know, performance where they finished top. I didn't watch it that closely, but it's encouraging that they're in the playoffs. They played this game and they started in 1-0 up, and then it just, to me, it was just same old. And Scotland used to, under the likes of Craigie Bruin and so on, they used to really relish being the sort of the underdogs. And yeah, that's how they used to see themselves. We're the underdogs. But it was almost a little bit of a wink of, yeah, we're the underdogs, but we can do something as well. Mm. And I think maybe Chris Coleman used to have that a bit about Wales. Well, when Steve Clarke talks about playing Belgium at home, and he says maybe it's a good fixture for us because I don't think there's any expectation. I don't think anyone expects anything. If we're being honest, there's too many people in the country saying Scotland will get something out of this game. So maybe it's a good fixture for us rather than Cyprus away, where you're thinking we've got to go there and win. And his comments like that, I just sort of think, I don't think that does you any favours.
No.
I know it's an isolated comment, and the other things he said, I think, but I don't know. If I was, you know, Scotland fan and all that, I'd just be a bit
There's no plan within that, is there?
Yeah.
I mean, going back to what we were saying, I suppose it's remarkably different in terms of context, so maybe this is a bit unfair, but when we're talking about Southgate earlier, talking about Rashford, and actually talking about what the plan is and talking about the actual technical side of the game, there's none of that there. You know, that's all about expectation and about...
But I wonder if that's undermined by the point you made a second ago, which is that Steve Clarke's quite new in the job. He's come in the middle of a qualification cycle. Look, to add further context to what I just said about Scotland and Russia, I mean, I know people have a problem with the FIFA rankings, and maybe people's impression of Russia is slightly inflated by how they got on last summer. There are only two places higher than Scotland in the rankings.
Really?
And Scotland are at home, and Scotland went a goal ahead. All this has got to be taken in context. The thing I'd be most disappointed about, just going to the game itself if I were a Scotland fan, after half time they looked half asleep.
Yeah,
they eventually got caught out, but they were caught out a few times before that,
just losing the ball all the time.
And you think
play keep ball.
The basic stuff's got to be done properly, and I think if you look at the list of all-time Scotland strikers, the only two I think are in there since 2000 are probably what, Kenny Miller and Stephen Fletcher, probably. Mm, yeah. And what have they got? Just about double figures each. Mm-hmm. That's it. So they have got a goal scorer. They do find it hard. It does feel like they're in that rut that England might have been in, but in a slightly worse way, where every time a qualification process finished, we would just rip it up and start again with a new type of manager. Mm. And so, yeah, it's disappointing.
Yep. All right, let's move to Group C. Northern Ireland host Germany tonight. The Green and White Army still top of the group.
Yeah.
After the Netherlands beat Germany 4-2 in Germany.
Oh, that was a cracker, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good game.
What a game.
Yes,
they haven't played, so they've got Germany and Netherlands to play at home still, haven't they? They've got to play them away as well. They do very much so. But they've done what's asked them. They've won 4 out of 4.
If they can get anything from this home game against Germany, I tell you what, they'll be dreaming.
Yeah, absolutely.
They will be dreaming. And they are right to dream.
Yeah,
if they get,
they have
like
every right to do so.
little atom that dared to dream.
Mr. Davis will move ahead of Mr. Hughes on 113 appearances. Presumably, he'll captain Northern Ireland tonight against Germany, which is quite an incredible achievement for the 34-year-old. Just 6 caps shy of Pat Jennings' record for Northern Ireland.
Oh, of course, he can. Of course he can.
Yeah, I think so.
We look forward to that. The old green and white army. So, yes, intriguing. Oh, let's move to some other qualifying. The FIFA World Cup. Qualification for Qatar is well underway in some parts of the world. Are you excited, Peter?
What's going on?
Absolutely.
Confused.
Well, in other parts of the world outside of Europe, they don't play in the European Championships.
Well, they've got to find something to do with their time. Qualify for the 2022s.
Exactly, yeah. Slomania.
More on that in a minute.
Islam Slomani.
Yeah, exactly.
It's playing.
Somalia, ranked 202 in the world, sensationally beat Zimbabwe 1-0 last week in their first ever win in a World Cup qualifying match. They'd been on a 19-match losing streak over the past 8 years. They play Zimbabwe in the second leg of their World Cup qualifying round this week. But it's an incredible story, this. Do check this out. There's a chap called Muhammad Ali, spelt differently to the main man. Of course, he's from Greater Manchester, actually. He's a semi-professional footballer, plays for Curzon Ashton, and I think he's a driving instructor as well. He was out there.
Really?
They call up whoever they can, of course. The match was played in Djibouti because of safety fears and so on in Somalia. But just one of those little stories. You know those stories that start unfolding? I think it was Bhutan we spoke about.
Bhutan clan.
The Bhutan clan, who was it? They beat Sri Lanka. I think Sri Lanka beat them in the second leg. But scenes of celebration.
Cape Verde, another one.
Yeah. These lovely little stories that kind of start developing, and you kind of think, I mean, you realise how long the road is to the World Cup for some people. Now, of course, if you're starting to qualify for the World Cup now, chances are you probably won't be there for the tournament when it actually happens.
Did you say they were 202nd in the world?
They are.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean,
if you see that, see the highlights of the game, like, it really does look like it was shot on like a 90s camcorder.
It does, the
scale of that qualification process, as you say.
They've never qualified for the Cup of Nations, have they?
No, I don't think so.
Never. Yeah. So, yes, amazing, really.
Do you reckon the Zimbabweans did not love that?
No? Peter Inlove was a Zimbabwean footballer, for those young enough not to know.
Yeah. Oh, giving it, didn't win going for gold this week, did you? Or did you?
I think I did.
Stop,
did.
Is it Peter Inlove?
It was last week, to be more precise.
But it's nice for them to have a moment. They're probably not going to make it, are they? But
no.
It's nice for them to have a moment.
It's bloody nice for them to
bloody
have a
lovely.
Moment.
Bloody lovely. So feel good. Listen, it's such a feel-good situation
that
even the official FIFA World Cup Twitter account tweeted.
Exactly.
And the nickname is the Ocean Stars, which is also something we can get behind too.
Nice.
Did you guys see this? What happened at the Stade de France?
Oh, this is amazing.
So
I did see this. I'll just
let Matt Spiro take it up. Matt Spiro on Twitter, he tweeted, he's like a France-based football writer and broadcaster. Mm. Farcical scenes at Stade de France.
Uh-huh.
Kickoff delayed after they played Andorra's national anthem instead of Albania's.
Yeah.
Announcer then apologised for the delay, but apologised to Armenia.
And France then thrashed them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, they've been undermined.
Confidence in tatters.
Do you remember in the it would have been the London Olympics when North Korea were in the football? South Korea were definitely in the football,
right?
I'm doing the mistake that the guy did.
Yeah,
they played the incorrect Korean anthem. Mm.
I've got something along the lines of this as well, because I did a little reading around it, and apparently, I don't know how long ago it was, but a while back, Malta were involved in the game, and instead of playing the Maltese national anthem, the guy on the ones and twos, the DJ, ended up playing the start of Linkin Park's Numb. Do you want to hear it?
Go on. I love that.
Was that the Jay-Z remix or the original, do you reckon?
The captain of Malta is in absolute hysterics.
Yeah.
He's taking it well. So these things can happen.
Well, that is odd.
The Kazakhs got the Borat theme once, didn't they?
Someone's messing with them.
Right, do you know what that is? That's a bit naughty.
That's a very naughty.
My mate, it works on a ship. He's in the Navy. And there was a very important Chinese dignitary coming on. Uh-huh. They hoisted the flag for Chinese Taipei.
No.
As he would call it.
Not that one.
Not that one.
No, Gordon Bennett. Yeah, someone played the Isle of Man theme tune once. I think it was a game in the US.
Theme tune.
They should be called theme tune.
The Isle of Man walk on.
We are the Isle of Men.
I love the French theme tune.
Yeah. To be fair, the French do have the best one, so that's extra rubbing it in.
Did you refer to the Isle of Man as the Isle of Men?
Yeah.
We are the Isle of Men.
Like that.
But yeah, it was a good, but basically you can see how in alphabetical order they've probably got the anthems. It was the Linkin Park one, not any sense.
It's on shuffle or something.
The only thing I can think of is it's next on the alphabet from Malta to Numb. Maybe. I don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe.
Did you see that Louis van Gaal and Tony Adams are going to be naming some gorillas in Rwanda?
I said monkeys later. It wasn't. It's gorillas.
Yeah, it's gorillas.
Jim, if you start a sentence by saying, "Did you see Louis van Gaal and Tony Adams?" I'm automatically interested.
Yeah, exactly. It's just in Rwanda. It's an event that's bringing together conservationists and celebrities. Just I think to just raise awareness to the country's success actually in protecting mountain gorillas, which are endangered. So that's great. So they've got in touch with Louis van Gaal. Tony Adams, the original silverback. Yeah, absolutely. and Naomi Campbell, among others.
Get some high profile names in there.
I saw a picture of Louis van Gaal dressed in sort of quite strange garb with some sandals on. Is that basically what was happening then? I have no idea. I think he's dressed it. Seeing Louis van Gaal in a pair of sandals is quite an odd experience. Mm.
Well, let's hope he doesn't, you know, when he's naming the gorilla, start sort of going on about Louis van Gaal's army.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah. Imagine if he unleashed that. Like the
recruiting for his guerrilla army.
Like the film Congo.
Yeah.
Louis van Gaal is the main mastermind behind the behind what happens in the film Congo.
Yeah, and the sort of Jeff Goldblum, you know, character, the sort of, you know, you didn't bother to think about whether you should blah 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 is Tony Adams. Yeah. So everyone's doomed.
Yeah. Scientist Karen Ross is sent by her father-in-law, mogul R.B. Travis, to the Congo to determine the whereabouts of her son's missing diamond hunting team.
Oh, right.
They discover a danger far more sinister than anything they expected to find.
Which is Louis van Gaal.
Herkimer Homolka, currently played by Tim Curry, treasure hunter. Louis van Gaal could take that role.
He could do.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you for your treasure, lady. That
was Van Hal.
Was that Van Hal? Yeah.
Tony Adams could play primatologist Dr. Peter Elliot.
Yeah. I feel
you were doing Seth Blatter. I think you meant big applause.
Big applause. Yeah.
Van Hal's more of a Terminator figure.
Yeah,
he's
a bit.
Yeah. I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's a good place to finish. Place to finish the show. Thank you very much for listening to The Ramble. Remember, tomorrow on Football Ramble Daily, we've got Jules and Andy.
Yeah, I think Jules was at the big kickoff of the Women's Super League. Let me talk about that and lots of other bits and pieces as well. Do tune in. Make sure you subscribe to Football Ramble Daily to never miss an episode again for the rest of your natural life.
Damn right. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Play the music.
Do I not get a thanks?
Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
And it's thank you very much to you, listeners.
This Congo.
I want to be the very best, like no one ever was.
This Pokemon. Oh, good.
To catch them all is my real test. To train them is my cause.
What's the email address?
It would travel across the land.
Have we got rights?
Searching far and wide.
So you know the Pokemon national anthem, but
it's
nothing
Pokemon
about it.
So
it's a Pokemon theme tune.
The power that's inside. Pokemon! Gotta catch them all. Pokemon.
Have we finished?
This has been a Stakhanov production.